Blog Talk Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.
I want to bring to our attention achievement publication that has been produced and is produced for our community, mainly for our community, but it will serve anybody who wants some help from the material that are put into this publication. And the book is called The Language of Revelation, Lugatu Tenzin, the language of translation, and it is by a brother that I have known to be dedicated and devoted to the study of Quranic Arabic and the teaching of that subject to our students and to grown-ups as well. And that is Brother Sadiq Jahad. I think most of us know of him. Brother Sadiq Jahad, will you please stand and face the audience? So yeah, this is Brother Sadiq Jahad. So I highly recommend this book for you all who are studying, grown-ups, but also for our youngsters who are studying in separate organized Quranic studies classes, who are also studying in school system, our school system, Claire Muhammad school system, Claire Muhammad schools, and like the one in Atlanta and Washington, D.C., Chicago, and many places. I highly recommend this book, The Language of Revelation. It's Quranic, Arabic, with lessons, studies, to improve your ability to read the Quran and get more understanding and to qualify yourself, inshallah, to be a teacher one day. Because out of you, from you who are interested in Quranic Arabic, we are going to get our next generation of teachers and imams and leaders, you know. So Allah be with you all and bless you to benefit from these wonderful projects and publications that our community is producing. This is one. We have others. We have others that I have seen, and grateful to Allah for students and scholars like our brother Sadiq Jahad. Congratulations, my brother.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. This is Imam Sadiq Jahad. You can secure the book by going to our website, www.sadiqjihad.com. That's SIDDEQ Jihad, JIHAD.com. Or you can send a postal money order or any type of money order to Post Office Box 401165, Redford, REDFORD, Michigan, 48240. My email address is Sadiq, that's SIDDEQ, at MSN.com. And the phone number where we can be reached is 313-532-5246. I thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I begin now by reciting from the glorious Quran, where Allah reveals, Hu al-Ladhi arsala Rasulahu bilhuda wa din of haqqi li yudhirahu ala dini kullihi walau karihal mushrikun. Translated, it is he who has sent his messenger with guidance and the way of truth to make it apparent and visible over all ways of life, even though the pagans, that is those who join deities with the one and only deity, may hate and detest it. Now there's a word in Arabic, as most of us know that are Muslim, called deen. And many times they translate this word deen as religion. But we know from looking at the use of the word and the way of lives of people in America and in the world in general, that sometimes they have it in their mind that there's a separation between church life, mosque life, or synagogue life, and the secular life. But in Al-Islam, we take our morals, our honor, our integrity into business, into marriage, into every aspect of our life. So many Muslims, and I agree with them, don't like to translate the word deen, D-E-E-N, as religion. They prefer to translate it as a way of life. And this way of life, we know, is Al-Islam. That is the religion of submission, or the way of submission to the will of our Creator, Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this particular ayah that I recited a few minutes ago, you'll see that Allah is telling us that he sent this message, that is the Quran, with guidance to make it more apparent, more visible. And I translate it as that because if you look at the Yusuf Ali translation, he says it would become the most dominant in some of the old translations. Now they say the most prevalent. So the word liyuthirahu is coming from the same word that we use for our noontime prayer, duhur. So Allah is saying that he's going to make this way of life, this Al-Islam, a way of life that will be so apparent and visible as you would see the sun at high noon in all of its brilliance and brightness. Dominant is not a good word to translate this word, liyuhirahu, because we don't want to be dominant or dictatorial over people. We want to invite them to this way, but have leadership that is in accord with what God have us to do, so that the government will be able to be dominant for righteousness in no other way other than that. Praise be to Allah. So my topic, the title, I have entitled it, Allah is the grammarian of the grammarians. And we know in the Quran, Allah says that he is the best of the creators. Why does he say the best of creators? Because he's letting us know that I know you all can create something that never happened before. You can make this or make that. But the reality is that anything that we make or anything that we do is because of the tools that Allah gave to us as Homo sapiens. Praise be to Allah. So I'm saying to you that Allah is the grammarian of grammarians from the standpoint that we have all types of languages, all different types of expression, but Allah is the one who enabled us to have these abilities. So when you read the Quran, when I read the Quran, we must realize that Allah is speaking to us with grammar, with solid, consistent, precise expression. Praise be to Allah. So I want to talk to you for a moment now about the four ayahs in the glorious Quran where the word Al-Islam is used. Not Islam, but Al-Islam. And many years ago, most of us know that follow Imam Waqidi Muhammad, that he said our way of life is not Islam, it's Al-Islam, putting the word Al prefacing Islam, meaning the submission. Submission to what? Submission to the Creator. And we know from studying the Quran that Allah has created everything in submission to his will is the way of life. It's the way of life of the roach, the cat, the dog, the eagles, the human beings, and the jinns are the only ones that can deviate from that submission. And so Allah has given us this al-Islam, this way of life, this Quran, as a check on us so that we can have a lifelong process of endeavoring to submit to the will of this Creator who has created all of us and this expanding universe. And notice I said expanding. We know from the Quran that this universe is not getting smaller, it's getting bigger as I speak, as I sit here before you on this Jumu'ah day 911. Praise be to Allah. So Allah reveals in the Quran, in the Surah 5, verse 3, a portion thereof, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakumul islama dinan. Translated, my translation. And listen carefully, and when you get opportunity, check back on the Abdullah Yusuf Ali translation, and you'll see some differences. But I do believe that the translation that I'm giving is on point. Today, El Yoma means today, like this particular day as I sit here. Allah is telling us, today I have completed, belonging to you all. He uses lakum, belonging to you all, already. You all's way of life, or you all's religion, if you want to use the word religion, the word that's in the ayah is deen. Then he goes on, I have completed my favor on you all and pleased you with what belongs to you all already. Al-Islam as a way of life or a religion. So why am I translating it as such? I'm saying to you that Allah has created everything, including us, in submission to his will. So many of the people say that wa raditu is saying that I have preferred or I have chosen. And we know that radiya, ra, dawd, with the ya at the end, radaw, means to please. And we know from whenever the name of the prophet is mentioned, we say sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we also say when we speak about the companions, may Allah be pleased with him, radiallahu anhu. And we say radiallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with her. So we know that this word has something to do with pleased. And so if you look at the structure, wa raditu, Allah is saying, I pleased. I did the pleasing. I pleased you with what you all have already. Lakum al-Islam, submission to my will as a way of life. Praise be to Allah. I hope you're registering what I'm saying to you. That Allah didn't prefer or choose this over Christianity or other ways of life. This is the way that he has intended for all of us to have a way of life that is in submission to his will. And we know that is the way of all of the prophets and all of the people who sincerely wish to serve this magnificent creator. Praise be to Allah. So I mentioned that there's four entries in the Quran where the word al-Islam is used. And we thank Allah for Imam Wafti Muhammad for pointing this out to us. This is a particularly set criterion of do's and don'ts that are set forth in the Quran, which is also called the El Furqan, that is the do and don't list. So in the Surah 3, verse 19, the first portion thereof, Inna Dina Indallahi al-Islamu, al-Islamu. Surely this way of life in the presence of Allah is the submission to his will. And understand too that the word al in Arabic, it means the, but it means a little bit more than that from the standpoint that sometimes when you're being real precise about something, like if you look at basketball world, you look at LeBron and you look at Michael Jordan, some people will say to you that Michael Jordan, he's the man. in basketball. He's the one that is on the pinnacle, on the high level of being the best. So Al has something to do with something that is exclusively belonging to a particular being or person. Now, Allah, many times people tell you that Allah is not translatable. So you see Al on the front of Allah, right? And many of the scholars, including myself being one who believes this, I don't consider myself a scholar but a student forever, is saying that Allah is a contraction between Al and the noun Ilahun, which means deity. So there's a contraction there. When we say contraction, just like we have in English, we say do not. To make it a contraction, we say don't. So here we have Al, the, and then we have Ilahun, and we push those two words together and come up with Allah. So when we say the deity, that's the translation, but the fact that the Al is there is saying that he is the only one, the only being that has the property of being worthy of deification. This is very, very important for us to remember, because so many times people fall into cults like the Trump cult. We fall into a cult of worshiping a particular imam or mufti or sheikh. And Allah has brought this Quran so that we will not raise up lords and gods from among ourselves. Praise be to Allah. So let me continue. So I've mentioned two entries of Al-Islam in the Quran. And the third one now is in the Surah 3, verse 85. And if you don't have a pen or a pencil available, this particular khutbah will be in the archives of this particular site, which is blogtalkradio.com/Akhtab, A-K-H-T-A-B-M. You can get right to it and go into the archives, inshallah. So this 385 says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Translated, if anyone desires a deen, a way of life, or religion, if you want to insist on saying religion, other than Al-Islam, never, Allah says never, len, he uses the particle len, meaning absolutely never, never will it be accepted of him or her, and he or she will be in the ranks of the losers. So some might say, well, Allah says in the Quran that those who believe in God in the last day, the Christians, the Sabians, and those who believe in God in the last day will have their reward with their Lord. We believe that is true. But in terms of a way of life, if you or I join partners with this deity, then we will lose to some degree. And some say, well, the Christians are very successful materially. They're not losers. Not in a material sense, for sure, for sure. But we know that Allah is telling us that the optimum and the precise way of life is to have no partners with him and have it in our minds and in our life activity, a life of submission to the do and don't list that he has set forth in the glorious Quran, and to some degree in the very nature that he has created all of us in. Praise be to Allah. So that is the third entry. The fourth entry, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ نِفْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبَ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبَ وَهُوَ يُدْعَى إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. 61:7. And who does a greater wrong than one who invents falsehoods against Allah, even as he is being invited to Al-Islam, Lil Al-Islami, That is the fourth entry. And Allah does not guide those who do wrong, is the conclusion of that particular ayah 61:7. Praise be to Allah. So I'd like to just mention a couple of terms that we know of but may not know that the grammatical structure of it gives more insight into the words. And the first word I want to share with you in terms of some grammatical structure that Allah has set forth is the word al-Islam. The word Islam itself is a noun. We call it a gerund in English language. Most of us don't know what a gerund is. I didn't know until I started learning Arabic. A verbal noun, meaning it can be a verb, and it also can be used as a noun. In this case, this word is used as a noun. So Islam is what we call the fourth form verbal noun structured in the language. We have 15 forms of the nouns and verbs in Arabic, but 10 basic ones are usually used and are more prevalent in the Quran than the other five. But at any rate, Islam itself has the connotation of something that is dynamic, something that is moving and developing and getting better and better. So Allah is telling you and I that just because we say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, there's more. There's more. There's more effort in submitting more and more to the will of our Creator. And that reminds me of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The report has it that on his latter part of his life, when he was about to make his transition, he called for his miswak, his toothbrush. And he also said that he asked the question, is anyone that I owe anything to? So here is this man is on the verge of death. He was the messenger of Allah, and he wanted to brush his teeth before he left here, and he wanted to make sure that his debts were clear before he left here. So he lived a life of high submission to the will of the Creator, but yet he had the understanding that I can do better. We all can do better. So Islam also has something to do with causation. The fourth form of the verb suggests causation. Allah is the one that aids you and causes you and I to submit to his will. Next, we have the word Muslim. Muslim. Muslim is also the fourth form of the Arabic noun. It is what we call in English grammar an active participle. You can say an active participant. So a Muslim is one who is actively participating in the submission to Allah's will. So as I remember a real live event that happened many, many years ago, we had a teacher, an Arabic teacher by the name of Shahid Bashir, also was known as Brother Jack, prior to him having the name change. And he did a talk, I don't know if it was a Talim or a Jumu'ah, but he made the comment to us, and it always stuck with me. Technically, brothers and sisters, when you or I do something that is not in accord with submission to his will and in accord with the Furqan, that is the do and don't list that Allah has revealed in this glorious Quran, we are technically not a Muslim at that particular point of that particular activity. And so a brother came up to him after he did the talk and said, brother, I know I might do this wrong or that wrong, but I'm still a Muslim. He didn't register the fact that he was telling him, technically speaking, and truly speaking, really, Muslim is one who is actively submitting to the will of God. And you know, Allah, he never says in the Quran that he loves the Muslims. He never says he loves the mu'min, the believer. He says in the Quran more than once, Inna Allaha yuhibbul muhsinin. Surely Allah loves the doers of good, the excellent doers of good from hasana, hasana. Ihsan is goodness. So here Allah is telling you and I that there's a level there. There's Muslim, you can be a believer, but then after becoming one who wants to submit to the will of God and become a believer in God, have faith in God, have trust in God, then you have to put your way of life into an excellent mode of doing good, demonstrating this submission by doing good to yourself, doing good to your family, doing good to the society, endeavoring to create new things that will be helpful to you and to the society. So a muksin is what we want to be, and not just a Muslim. We want to be muksin. So in order to become a muksin, you have to have submission in your spirit, and you have to have faith and trust in this Creator. Praise be to Allah. So now I want to talk to you about the word Muhammad. Still talking grammar. I said Allah is the grammarian of grammarians, right? The word Muhammad. But before I even go into that word, I want to just share with you an experience. I went to Wayne County Community College under the tutelage of Dr. Abdul Munim Shaker. He was an Egyptian who knew Arabic, classical Arabic, Arabic Fusha, and he also knew English very, very well. He taught us English and Arabic during the courses there at the Wayne County Community College here in Detroit. And so he taught us these 61 basic word patterns. So when I looked at the patterns and I started looking at the pattern where it says mufa'alun, that is the second form, passive participle. Now earlier I said active participle. So a passive participle is that entity that something is exhibiting action and effect upon. So Muhammad's name is a passive participle. And as you recall, if you've been around for a while and you were in the what we call the first resurrection prior to Imam Waqti Muhammad's leadership, we would holler in unison. Muhammad meant raised, worthy to be praised. Worthy to be praised much. So this much part is identifying one of the meanings of the second form of the Arabic noun and verb, meaning intensity. It also means something that happens over and over and over again over a long period of time. So we say, Alhamdulillah. That means the praises to Allah, all the praises due to Allah, right? And then we say, Muhammad means worthy to be praised much. And I already said, we've already said, that Allah is worthy of all of the praise. So I say to you, O Muslims, that Muhammad, the meaning of it shouldn't be using the word praise. I would say to you that Muhammad is worthy of high commendation, high accolades. And the term they use now is kudos, right? High kudos. And finally, emulation, following his example, following his honor, his piety, his integrity, his devotion to salah, his devotion to Allah, his devotion to doing good in this life. Further, so Muhammad means that entity. Again, that entity, that being that wasn't actively soliciting commendation, but this act of commendation and high accolades and emulation came upon him. Why did it come upon him? Because he lived his life as a testament to submission to the will of the Creator. So Muhammad, the name itself, means something that is not actively soliciting praise and even seeking praise. So Allah has given his name, if you follow the grammatical structure, as a safeguard against us making him an active participle, wanting people to praise him and lift him up over Allah. That is a no-no in our way of life, to lift any human being equal to Allah, or to have a human being viewed as someone that you should obey whatever he says or she says. And this is the key to successful life, knowing that I'm a man, you're a man. You're a woman, she's a woman. And all of us should be in a posture of not raising up gods and deities from among ourselves, inshallah. So continuing, I want to let you know that Allah has said in the Quran more than once that he has made this Quran easy for Hal Mim Mudakir. Is there any of you that will remember it and take it to heart and understand that this Quran is accessible to your mind's eye and your heart, if you would only look at it from a logical standpoint? Allah has revealed this Quran in the Arabic language, and you and I, as Muslims, have a duty to want to get direct connection with the language that he revealed this Quran in. And as more and more of us do this, we will see a change in our own selves and changes in the society at large. Because the Quran is a book of motivation, a book of taqwa that causes you and I to have more taqwa, more reverence for God. It is a book that drives and moves the human being. You know, it's just like one of your favorite songs. If you're feeling a good feeling about this person or that person, or you want to just have something to pep you up, you'll sing one of your beautiful songs, and you get finished, or you listen to it and may not even want to say the song or read or sing the song, you feel better. So it is with the Quran. The Quran is a healing, it's a motivational tool. And we as Muslims should spend more time reading it and also disseminating this message to all human beings that we come in contact with. Praise be to Allah. So let me go now to one of the favorite parts of the Quran for me, and that is in the Surah 81, Takwir, where Allah reveals Wasubhi Iba Tanafasa, translated by Abdullah Yusuf Ali, and the dawn as it breathes away the darkness. The word that I'm focusing on now, for those of you who can read Arabic, is the last word of this particular ayah 18 of Surah 81, tanafasa, tanafasa. Most of us know the word nefs. Nefs is translated as the soul, the spirit, and that's one of the descriptions that we talk about when we refer to ourselves. So we know that the nefs is the essence of the human being. And that nefs that we're talking about, it still exists after you and I go 6 feet under. And inshallah, our nefs, our souls, will be in the Jannah, that is the paradise, when we leave here, and not in the Jahannam, the hell, the hellfire. Allah refers to heaven and hell, and he gives us descriptions of both. But none of us know what it's like to be in that hell after we leave here. We can have a hellish condition while we're living and feel very, very tormented. And Allah says those who go to hell, they will neither die nor live. But he speaks so beautifully of the Jannah. And the word Jannah itself means that which is hidden. That which is hidden from the human being's understanding. But yet we know Allah says it will be gardens of mist where rivers flow. And the greeting therein will be salam. And you'll never be asked to leave. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. So, nefs, to Nefesa. Allah saying that I swear by the dawn, meaning when it becomes a situation where the light is coming, as it breathes away the darkness, the night. Allah is swearing by this. So he's using nefs to nefesa, meaning something that goes back to the self. The fifth form has something to do with reflection and falling back on the doer. So I believe, oh, Mr. Allah is telling you and I that within your nefs, within your being, you have the ability to breathe away ignorance and darkness and come into the light of this Quran, come into the light of great life, peaceful life, inshallah. In the next ayah, verily, this is the word of a most honorable messenger. Innahu laqawlu rasulin kareem. This honorable messenger Allah is referring to is not Muhammad in this instance. He's talking about the angel of revelation, Jibril or Gabriel in English. The kuwatin inda dil arshi makin. Endued with power, with rank before the Lord of the throne, with authority there and faithful to his trust. The Arabic for that, with authority there and faithful to his trust, is muta'in thamma amin. So this angel of revelation was of high rank, and he was faithful to Allah in conveying this message of Quran to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And notice I said salam, S-A-L hyphen L-A-M, salam. Many Muslims erroneously say salam. Salam is a noun, but salama is a verb, an action word. So this is a phrase that begins with a verb and it ends with a verb. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what do we translate it as? The peace and blessings of Allah be upon Muhammad forever and ever. So salama is the second form noun. There's something that goes over and over and over again as a redundancy about it over a long period of time. And in this instance, we want the peace of God be upon Muhammad forever, because he is the excellent model for anyone, as we know the Quran says, who believes in God and believes in the last day. So now we go to the verse 22 of Surah 81, where Allah is now beginning to flow into talking about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa ma sahibukum bimajnun. And old people, your companion, talking about Muhammad, is not crazy. He's not possessed by jinns. Majnun means to be crazy, to be possessed, to have evil forces coming upon you. It's a passive participle. Majnun. Majnun. The word Jannah is coming from that. Something that is hidden and invisible and strange. 23 of Surah 81. وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ بِالْأُفُقِ الْمُبِينِ. And without doubt, he saw him in the clear horizon, saying that Muhammad saw the angel Jibril as a clear horizon. So we know that angels are made of light. And we don't believe that an angel is some being that's running around with wings like they depict in some of the pictorials of the Bible and other literature. So if the angel is made of light, then we should recognize that Muhammad, he came in contact with this angel, but it was not a physical being flying around as the angels that they depict, as I mentioned a second or two ago, I should say. So, this word ufukun, I looked it up. It means to see something, not only just horizon, but also means to see something in all of its nature, in all of its parts, all of its being. So Allah is giving you the physical picture of a clear horizon. The word means that. Like you're sitting on a a lake bank, right around the time when the sun is coming up, and you see that little sliver of light getting ready to come up from the distance, you know the sun is coming up. It's clear. I know it's coming up. So we want you to know that Allah is telling us that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came in contact with this angel of revelation so clearly and so tightly that he was able to maintain contact over that period of 23 years when Allah saw fit to reveal this Quran to him piecemeal. When I say piecemeal, in parts. And we know that Prophet Muhammad, he memorized this, inculcated it into his heart and in his life actions, and we have it here today. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. So continuing, wa ma huwa alal ghaibi bidonin. This is kind of fancy English, but I'm going to read it, Abdullah Yusuf Ali's translation. Neither did he withhold grudgingly a knowledge of the unseen. More clearly to the English people, and he was not stingy with this revelation that he got from the God who is El Ghaib, the unseen God. And we say unseen, we cannot see God in any physical manifestation. In fact, in the words of the Bible in the Second Chronicles, I believe it says in the words allegedly of Solomon, "O God, I build this temple for you, but I know this temple can't hold you. Not even the heavens of heavens can hold you." So he was acknowledging that this being, Allah, cannot be put into any particular spot, any particular body or form. But yet he has created all of these forms, all of this physical universe that we enjoy. So clearly saying, Muhammad, he wasn't stingy. What did he do? He rushed to Khadija and told her of the experience in the cave Hira, where he received the first five ayahs of Surah 96. He went to Abu Bakr. He went to Zayd and Ali and Bilal, the Ethiopian. He wanted to give this message to the people. And so it is with us as Muslims. We should give this message to the people. We have obligation to do it. Allah commands us in the Quran to call the people. Call the people to God. Call the people to righteous living. Call the people to El-Haq, that is the truth. And then it goes on, wa ma huwa bi kawli shaitani rajim. Nor is this the word, speaking of this Quran, of an evil spirit accursed. This did not come from shaitan. Plainly, Allah is telling you this and telling me this, telling all of the humanity that this came from him. It's pure. It's from the Creator, the one that made you from a sperm drop that was admitted into the ovum of your mother. فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ Abdullah Yusuf Ali translated in old style English, then whither go ye? More precisely, so where are you all going? Like, what's up? Since I'm telling you that this did not come from Shaitan, this book is in accord with your submission to my will and nature that I created you in. فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ So where are you going? What are you going to do? What's up? And then he continues further. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرُ لِلْعَالَمِينَ Verily, this is no less than a message to all of the knowledge bases, to all of the worlds. عَالَمِينَ This book is for everybody. إِنْ كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ If they only but knew. Allah reveals in the Quran, in the Surah 5, I believe, verse 15, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ No doubt has come to you all a light and a plain, perspicuous book. So you should know, I should know, that this book is for the Christians, this book is for the atheists, this book is for all people in Kuntum Talimu, if they only but knew. This is a blueprint. This Quran is a blueprint for human life. And more you read it, the more and more you will see that and appreciate that and get utility and use and motivation and drive out of it, inshallah. So then Allah talks about the profit of it. لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَيَسْتَقِيمَ. With profit, with benefit to whoever among you who wills to go straight. And then the beautiful concluding ayah, I love the ring of it and the flow of it. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَيَّشَاءُ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. But you shall not will, except as Allah wills, the cherisher and sustainer of all of the worlds. That concludes the surah 81 of this glorious Quran. Praise be to Allah. So I'm trying to convey to you that there's much that you can gather from understanding the Arabic grammar, the forms of the verbs, the nouns, etc., that will give you more clarity and more understanding of this book that Allah has revealed for the whole of humanity. So I want to conclude with three ayahs that come to mind, and I pray Allah that you have benefited from what I have spoke to you about thus far. We're going now to Surah 12, verse 2, where Allah reveals, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعَقِلُونَ. Again, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعَقِلُونَ. And we have sent it down, speaking of this Quran, as Abdullah Yusuf Ali says, an Arabic Quran. He didn't translate the word Arabic, and he didn't translate the word Quran. So inshallah, I want to translate that. Quran in Arabian means a pure recital. So the word Arabian, or Arabic, if you will, means that which is free of admixture. It's pure. It's undefiled. This is one of the properties of this Arabic language that is spoken in a pure way by the Bedouins of Saudi Arabia, the Bedouins in other parts of Africa and other parts of the area there where Arabic is the native tongue. But we know that many of the Arabs have went away from the pure Arabic and they speak a lot of slang. I'll give you an example. I say to you, Kayfa haluka, that means, how you doing? I go into some circles, I hear them just saying, Kayfa, Kayfa, instead of saying the whole phrase. Kayfa haluka, how are you? How is your condition? So then you just say, Kayfa, I mean, how, you know? And there's other examples, but we won't dwell on that at this juncture. So Allah is saying to you, O Muslims, that we have sent this book down as a pure, the Quran I'm translating as recital, a pure recital. And he tells you why he has done it. He says, in order that you will understand. Ya'akilun, ta'akilun. Abdullah Yusuf Ali said, learn wisdom. But akala, akal is the brain. So we're talking about understanding. Allah said he revealed it in pure Arabic or pure recital in order that you all will understand. So the first thing you say is, I do not understand Arabic. I was not born an Arab. I believe, O Muslims, Allah is telling you and I that this book is in accord with your al-Islam that you possess already, that is submission to your will. So what does that mean? That means that you and I have the ability to get with teachers like myself and others and understand the rudiments and the foundations of this language so you can get into the fraternity of people who can go to this Quran and have Allah teach them. Allah reveals in the Surah 55, Allama al-Qur'an, that is, he teaches the Qur'an. So Allama, it sounds strong, doesn't it? It means to teach over and over and over again over a long period of time. The second form, verb, perfect tense, Allama. So Allah is telling you and I that he teaches this book. You don't have to rely on the imam, the sheikh, the muftis. You don't have to go to anyone and get a hijazah, a diploma. You get the diploma from Allah. If you are sincere, you have taqwa, and you have the diligence to tanfiru, go forth in the study once you learn the rudiments of the language, once you learn those 61 words, patterns, and their implications that I mentioned earlier in this khutbah. So again, Allah says, surely, surely we, inna. So who is this we? Allah is talking about all of the mechanisms that he has set forth in conveying this message. Jibril is a part of that mechanism. Muhammad is a part of that mechanism. And whatever other mechanisms that he was able to set forth, that he has the ability to set forth to cause this book to be in our hands and in our hearts and minds, inshallah, today. So again, he says he has sent it down. So anzala. Anzala is the fourth form. So Allah is letting you know that I am the direct causer of this book coming down. He used Jibril and Muhammad, but he said, I'm the one that caused all of this to come down to you as a blueprint for your way of life. And in another ayah, Allah changes one word. He says, Inna ja'alnahu Quran al-Arabiyya la'allakum ta'qilun. Ja'alna, that we made it a pure recital. So he's telling you he revealed it, and also he's saying to you and I that he made it so you can understand. So Allah is telling you and I that you have the brain capacity to understand this Quran for yourself. And once the masses get the knowledge of this Quran, then they will be in a better condition because they won't be dependent upon the knowledge base of the imams and the muftis that do many times surface khutbahs and don't beckon the people to be excellers, if you will, if that's a word, or to excel them in the knowledge of this Quran. Many times they want to just set themselves up as imams over the people for life, even though some newcomer with fresh minds and fresh ideas is right in their midst. Praise be to Allah. So, the other ayah that I'd like to mention to you as I, you know, come to the close is the ayah where Allah says, or I should say this particular phrase, فَصَلْنَاهُ تَفْسِيلًا, that is, and we have explained it, speaking of this Quran, فَصَلْنَاهُ تَفْسِيلًا, a complete explaining. That's very powerful. Allah is telling you and I that you don't need the hadith. You don't need me. You don't need anyone. All you need is to understand that Allah is explaining it right here in this glorious Quran. He's explaining it to you. And he asked the questions many times in the Quran. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا, and what will explain to you? What will explain to you what the day of judgment is? What will explain to you what the fire is? So he's telling you that the explanation is here in this Quran. So let me close with the Surah 101 and just show you something that Allah blessed me to understand, I believe. And then we'll stop right there. Al-Qariyah, that's one of my favorite ayahs, and most of my family members know that, one of my favorite ayahs. And we know, too, that the letter Qaf, it's the letter that has the most volume to it, like it echoes off of the wall. Al-Qariyah, the cough. So if you look at any Arabic dictionary, you'll find words that are relating to sound that commences with the letter cough. The letter cough. Qara'a means he read. Qala, that's sound. He said. Qadhafa, which is a bomb. And you know a bomb makes a lot of noise. So there's a science to this language that is so beautiful and so precise that I believe, O Muslims, that this Quran was revealed in a language that Allah himself preserved. And we would venture to say that Allah gave this Arabic language in the form of revelation to one of our Homo sapiens way back when. We don't know when. But we know that this language is its expression, the power of its expression is so precise and clear that it had to have been a language that was preserved on the deserts of Arabia by Allah himself. In fact, it said that these Arabs, these Bedouins who speak the pure Arabic, they were going from waterhole to waterhole for thousands of years, and nobody came in there to conquer them. No one came in there to change the house to the crib or the house to the home base. It's been bait, which means house, as long as this language has been around. So it wasn't a language that was changed. That's why we call it Arabian, pure, undefiled, without any add mixture. So now I try to come to the close. I see I only have a few more minutes here, and I'll just recite kind of fast here. El-Qariyah, the day of noise and clamor. Mel-Qariyah, what is the day of noise and clamor? So Allah is asking you the question. Don't you think he's going to answer somewhere in this Quran? And what will explain to you what the day of noise and clamor is? You know, Allah, he's explaining it now in this surah. Yawma yakunu nasu kafarashil mabathuz. It is a day whereon men, human beings, I don't know why Abdullah usually said men, wherein human beings will be like moths scattered about. So what is this picture? This picture is the scene of a windstorm where you see the moths scattering about and clashing into one another in a frenzy like. The Lord is giving a picture of this day of noise and clamor. This day of noise and clamor is really the judgment day. And the mountains, I repeat, and the mountains will be like carded wool. Can you think about that right away? You know that the properties of mountains and wool are totally different. A mountain is granite and rock and dirt, and wool is soft. And they come from two different places, right? The carded wool comes from the sheep. The mountain is an inanimate object, right? So I was studying this word, Jabala, and it hit me that Allah is telling you and I that the mountain is a metaphor or a symbol of the soul. I know I don't have much time now, so we'll go over this another time on another khutbah. But for now, replace the word mountains with the soul, the souls, the anfus, the plural. And the souls of the human beings will be like carded wool. So what is carded wool? Carded wool is wool that was taken off in a very confused state from the hide of the sheep, and it became carted off in the sense of the strands became straight by using combs, machine combs, and also just a regular comb, become straight and ordered and structured. So Allah is telling you and I, O Muslims, that on the day of judgment, my soul will be on a particular strand where it won't be confused with your strand of life, and so on and so forth. And carded wool, he should add the word colored, because this word suggests that something has been colored and has been changed. And we know, all of us, our souls have been changed from that original, fitrous, submissive nature that we had coming out of the wombs of our mothers. So Allah is saying that I'm carding off your life from the other person's life. And we know Allah says every tub sits on its own bottom by saying to us in the Quran, that's Bible I just mentioned, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu alaykum anfusahum. Oh, you all who believe, your own souls are on yourselves. Plainly. And Allah says in another ayah of the Quran, and every soul on the day of judgment will be coming up, struggling for itself. So now that Allah has got it ordered where my lifespan is separated from your lifespan, our records are distinct and clear, and Allah says that everything that happens is in a kitab al-mubin, a clear book before him. And here comes the judgment now. فَأَمَّا مَنْ تَكُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ Then he whose balance of good deeds will be found heavy. Like in other words, if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, Allah says, فَهُوَ فِي إِشَيْتِ رَادِيَةٍ You will be in a state, I will be in a state of pleasure and satisfaction if my good deeds outweigh my bad. And here's the flip. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ But he whose balance of good deeds will be found light, meaning that your bad deeds are outweighing your good deeds, it says, فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةٌ He or she will have his or her home in a bottomless pit. Then Allah asks the question, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا حِيَّةٌ Knowest you what that is? And he tells you and I clearly, it is a fire blazing fiercely. And even a one-year-old know not to put their hand on the fire of an iron once they do it one time. So it is not a pleasant condition. We know that. So there's much more that I can say, but I wanted to just mention to you that you should know that the Quran comes in metaphor sometime, and don't take everything you see as literal. The mountains in this particular surah is the souls of the human being. Why? Because the soul has a permanent property about it. And we know that mountains have some semblance of permanence.
I want to bring to our attention achievement, publication that has been produced and is produced for our community, mainly for our community, but it is for anybody who wants some help from the material that are put into this publication. And the book is called The Language of Revelation, Lugatul Tanzil, the Language of Translation. And it is by a brother that I have known to be dedicated and devoted to the study of Quranic Arabic and the teaching of that subject to our students and to grown-ups as well. And that is Brother Sadiq Jahad. I think most of us know him here. Brother Sadiq Jahad, will you please stand and face the audience? So this is Brother Sadiq Jahad. So I highly recommend this book for you all who are studying, grown-ups, but also for our youngsters who are studying in separate organized Quranic studies classes and who are also studying in the school system, our school system, Claire Muhammad School System, Claire Muhammad Schools. In like the one in Atlanta and Washington, D.C., Chicago, and many places. I highly recommend this book, The Language of Revelation. It's Quranic, Arabic, with lessons, studies to improve your ability to read the Quran and get more understanding and to qualify yourself, inshallah, to be a teacher one day. Because out of you, from you who are interested in Quranic Arabic, we are going to get our next generation of teachers and imams and leaders, you know. So Allah be with you all and bless you to benefit from these wonderful projects and publications that our community is producing. This is one. We have others. We have others that I have seen, and I'm grateful to Allah for students and scholars like our brother Sadiq Jihad. Congratulations, my brother.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This is Imam Sadiq Jihad. You can secure the book by going to our website, www.sadiqjihad.com. That's S-I-D-D-E-Q, Jihad, J-I-H-A-D.com. Or you can send a postal money order or any type of money order to Post Office Box 401165, Redford, R-E-D-F-O-R-D, Michigan, 48240. My email address is Sadiq, that's S-I-D-D-E-Q, at msn.com. And the phone number where we can be reached is 313-532-5246. I thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.